Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY24 earnings conference call of Sudarshan Chemical Industries Limited, hosted by IIFL Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vidit Shah from IIFL Securities. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Shah.
Thank you, Michelle. Ladies and gentlemen, good morning, and thank you for joining us on the post-results conference call for Sudarshan Chemicals Industries Limited. It's my pleasure to introduce the senior management team of Sudarshan Chemicals who are here with us today to discuss the results. We have with us Mr. Rajesh Rathi, Managing Director, and Mr. Neelkant Natu, CFO. We'll begin the call with opening remarks by the management, and thereafter we'll open the call for the Q&A session. I would like to now hand over the call to Mr. Neelkant Natu to take the proceedings forward. Thank you, and over to you, Neelkant ji.
Thank you. Thank you, IIFL Securities and Mr. Vidit, for hosting our earnings call. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Sudarshan's Q1 FY24 earnings conference call. Our investor presentation has been uploaded on the stock exchange for your ready reference. I would like to take you through the financial highlights for this quarter. On the overall basis, we have commenced the current financial year with improved financial performance compared to the challenging previous year. Taking the quarterly performance, on a consolidated basis for the quarter, total income from operations stood at ₹608 crore as compared to ₹554 crore for the same period last year, higher by 10% year on year. EBITDA for the quarter stood at ₹70 crore as compared to ₹41 crore in Q1 FY23. EBITDA margin is at 11.5% as compared to 7.5% over the same period last year. Profit after tax is at ₹21 crore compared to ₹7 crore for the same period last year. Now going into the details of our pigment business. For the Q1 FY24, income from operations stood at ₹536 crore as compared to ₹526 crore for the same period last year, growth of 2% year on year. On a sequential basis, revenue is lower by 10% compared to ₹594 crore of Q4 FY23. India sales for the quarter is at ₹265 crore, marginally lower by 1% as compared to ₹269 crore in the same period last year. On a sequential basis, India sales is lower by 12% compared to ₹301 crore in Q4 FY23. Exports for the quarter is at ₹272 crore as compared to ₹258 crore, higher by around 6% year on year. On a sequential basis, revenue is lower by 7% compared to ₹293 crore of Q4 FY23. Value growth has remained soft due to pass-through in the selling prices, due to fall in the raw material prices and the logistic cost. In the plastic segment, we are seeing relatively stable demand and expect further improvement in the coming quarters. We had seen subdued demand scenario from coating and ink segment, majorly due to domestic players deferring buying decisions owing to destocking and falling price region. Demand in this segment is expected to pick up in the coming quarter in H2 FY24, and we continue to be vigilant towards international geographies considering the global macroeconomic situation. Specialty pigments sales stood at ₹363 crore as compared to ₹352 crore for the previous year same quarter, 3% year on year higher. On a sequential basis, revenue is lower by 12% compared to ₹412 crore of Q4 FY23. Non-speciality sales for the quarter is at ₹174 crore, which remains flat as compared to the same period last year. On a sequential basis, revenue is lower by 4% compared to rupees 181 crore of Q4 FY23. We see good engagement with the customers to build healthy opportunity funnel from recently commissioned CapEx. As guided earlier, revenue ramp-up will be slightly delayed due to the macroeconomic conditions. Gross margin of pigment business for the quarter increased to 42.9% as against 40.3% for the same period last previous year. Comparing with the sequential quarter, gross margin have gone up by 140 basis points. Apart from raw material costs, we continue to see softening of coal prices as compared to the previous year. Logistic costs have also come off the peak levels seen earlier. In this softening price regime, we will continue with the calibrated pricing decisions to volume growth in the coming quarters. EBITDA for the quarter stood at rupees 64 crore in Q1 FY24 as compared to rupees 44 crore for the previous year same quarter. EBITDA margin is at 11.9% as compared to 8.3% over the same period last year. On a sequential basis, EBITDA is lower by 40 basis points, and this is due to lower operating leverage and annual employee increment effect. Recent update on the land monetization. During the quarter, the company completed sale of freehold land located at Pune, Maharashtra for a total consideration of Rs. 356 crore. Net gain of 315 crore from the sale transaction has been reported as a part of exceptional gain in the P&L statement. Proceeds from the land monetizations are being utilized towards deleveraging the balance sheet. To summarize, business environment has mixed vibes from headwinds due to the macroeconomic situation and positive tailwinds from the external factors such as consolidation of top players in the industry, China plus one strategy, etc., which are expected to favor Indian pigment industry. We are well prepared internally with all the CapEx projects being commissioned, with wider range of product portfolio, cost-efficient operation, and capacities to quickly ramp up. To summarize, we are confident in our growth journey and look forward to continuing the same and delivering value to all our stakeholders. With this, I now open the floor for question and answer session. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking our question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Sanjesh Jain from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, sir. Thanks for taking my question. First, on the domestic revenue growth, if you look at the plastic companies, pipe companies, they have reported a volume growth anywhere between 15% to 30%, and coating industry got benefited because of the delayed monsoon. While if I see our number, it really doesn't show that kind of increased volume. It is because that we have passed on the price benefit to the customer, and volume growth has been healthier than what we see in the revenue growth. That's number one. Number two, how have been our market share in Indian market? Because if that's not true, the earlier statement, then it looks like we are losing market share in the domestic. Can you provide some color there? That's my first one.
Hi, Sanjesh. Thanks for your question. Nilkant here. So, as I mentioned in my opening commentary, we have seen the good, good sales growth in the plastic segment, and there is a good traction. While the coating company has reported the good number, we have seen the destocking effect there. and the sales value growth was subdued there. And we expect that this should be transitionary, and the demand revival in the India market should come in. As regards your second question in terms of our market share in India, we are currently a market leader with 35% market share in the domestic industry, and currently we don't see any degrowth in our market share. We are not losing out on the market share in Indian market.
But we have invested so much into the high performance segment. We are expanding the portfolio. If I see this 35% number for last 4 or 5 years, despite such a significantly higher investment, that hasn't been moving up. Who are the other players who are being equally aggressive? Because we haven't seen too much of a capacity addition in the pigment segment. Why our market share is not reflecting that?
Sir, this is Rajesh Rathi here. As Nathuji mentioned, we've seen a good growth in plastics, which the growth has happened and the second is in the coating section. We've not lost anything, but we've not seen growth because of the destocking happening in the coatings industry. Our entire product portfolio was designed for a global market. And of course, India's also, some products do go into India. And from that perspective, all our new products, whichever were meant designed for India, they are getting, we're getting well entrenched in the product. I do not know why do you come to a conclusion that we are losing market share? That's not clear.
No, I got your point that volume growth could be higher and destocking could be a transitory phenomena. I'm just dwelling on this 35% market share, which has been stable for last 4-5 years, if I remember it right. Why is it not improving, considering that we have been investing so much in the product portfolio and all? One would have anticipated it to go up materially.
So I think, once you reach a certain product, certain market share, it's difficult to, and especially on some of the commodity sites, we've been losing some products there. And that's been by design. And that's where this new product portfolio was designed, that we gain market share there, right? There's a big, if you see the thalocyanine, you see the chrome industry in organics, there's a big, big competition there, and margins are constantly falling in that region. So there is a certain level of market which we've lost there in the last few years.
Got it. So to just summarize, you're telling that we are improving on the product portfolio, where we are shedding some of the market share in the lower end or highly competitive product and moving up in the value chain. Is that a fair assumption?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Okay. My second question is competition from China. We have generally heard from many chemical companies that due to the lower domestic demand in China, those products are flooding in the export market, and we do have a competition from China on the Azo portfolio. How has been our experience? What has been the competitive intensity, pricing, margins in the export market for that part of the portfolio?
We have seen intense competition, and probably some of the utilization has been at their lowest, right, for the Chinese companies. So we have seen intense competition, but I think last year also we saw huge competition there. So compared to last year, I wouldn't say that it has been, it's become worse. So whatever we saw last year has been continued, and with our product portfolio and even in Azos, we have been able to get back some of our market, which we had lost in the export market.
Got it. Last two questions. One on the new product approval and the ramp-up? I know you have told that it will get slightly delayed considering the global demand scenario. But can you tell us how is the yellow and violet being accepted by the customer? How many have approved it? Some color qualitative statement to give us a confidence that when the demand turns around, we should be able to gain that benefit. That's one. Number two, on the thylo side, I think China anti-dumping on India is now anniversarized. It's already in the base. Are you seeing that continues to hurt us? These are my two questions.
Right, sir. So I think one question is, Natuji will kind of allude to it, that our new CapEx sales, we are getting good engagement, right? And what we had earlier, giving you all a guidance that, earlier we had anticipated to utilize the full in 3 years, it will go to 4 years. That's what the guidance we had given you last time. So currently we are on track on, this year's target also as per, defined by that 4 year target, right? So we are on track on that. If the microeconomic situation changes, the team, we all hope that we will go back to the normal three years utilization, what we had thought, right? A good engagement on all those products across customers and across geographies, right? And that's one question if I've answered. The second question was on China anti-dumping. It's hurt the entire industry. The Pigment Manufacturing Association has decided to fight this together, and we hope that we do this. So coupled with, what has happened in the thylacine industry, it's the microeconomic situation globally, it was majorly, blue and green was an export market, right? So we've seen a depression in demand plus the China demand going off, right? So it's a double whammy for the thylacine industry.
Okay. But the anti-dumping has been put beyond a year now, right? At least there is no incremental hurt from the anti-dumping for the thylo side of the portfolio. I can understand the destocking part of it, but from the purely anti-dumping, there is no incremental impact now because it's already in the base, correct?
Is it already a year? I think yes. I don't exactly remember whether it's 9 months or a year, but there's no incremental after the last incident of anti-dumping. Whether it was a year, I don't recollect the exact date. Yeah.
Okay. That's it from my side. Thanks, RTG. Thanks, Natuji, for answering all the questions, and best of luck for the coming quarters.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Ankur Periwal from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, Ratiji. Hi, Natuji. Thanks for the opportunity there. So, continuing with the earlier discussion on the overall demand scenario, and given that exports are more relevant for us in terms of ramping up the newly launched products, capacities, etc. If you can share your thoughts on, how you are looking at different geographies, both from a, specialty as well as a non-specialty portfolio perspective.
Yeah. So, Ankur, Nilkan here. So, as we guided in our opening commentary, in the short term, we may see the demand variation due to destocking of the inventory level and buying decision deferment due to the softening of the prices. However, we expect that this to be the transitionary phase. On the domestic demand, we expect the recovery in the coming quarter, that is in H2 of FY24. On the export front, as we mentioned, the uncertainty due to the global geopolitical scenario remains, and with the tighter monetary policy, the demand is expected to be moderate. However, given the last year performance in the first 3 quarters, we expect the growth will be there in the export as well as the domestic market as far as our company is concerned, and we will continue to monitor that.
Sure. Secondly, on the RM deflation side now, and since, you know, we have been improving on the gross margin front, this gross margin improvement is more optical because of the decrease in freight cost, or there is a genuine, you know, full pass through of RM inflation and probably the deflation is helping now?
So, Ankur, the current quarter gross margin is at 42.9%, and which shows the improvement over the last year Q1 as well as the last year quarter four. And if you really see that historically we were operating at the similar level of gross margin, and we aspire to have this gross margin level always. However, this gross margin improvement, what we have seen in the current quarter, is due to softening of the RM prices and also some part of the lag effect of the pass-through. Our endeavor is always to maintain the gross margin level at the same percent, and we expect that the gross margin should remain at the similar percent given the, you know, softening of the cost elements in terms of the raw material, in terms of the coal and all that. We expect that this should remain at around same level in the coming quarter, and however, we will have to take the balanced approach, as I mentioned earlier, between the volume and the price, looking at the demand scenario in the coming quarter, given the uncertainty around. But we will try and aspire to have this gross margin level around the same level.
Sure. So, Naduji, where I was coming from was, you know, the existing portfolio, you know, if I look historically, our gross margins have been, you know, largely stable in that 42-43% range. But given the new 7 billion INR capex that we have done, and over the next, let's say, 4 years, if we are looking at a ramp up there, which is more on the specialty side, this number should move up materially. So from a, not immediate near term, but let's say from a 3 year perspective, we should see a decent improvement in the gross margin number. Or will it be a case that probably we'll have to offer our products at a slightly discounted or maybe, you know, lower prices to gain market share, and hence the margin accretion may not be as high while revenue growth will be good?
Ankurji, Rajesh here. So very good question, sir. So obviously this product portfolio was designed from a, to, you know, with a, that it receives a higher gross margin, right? There are two things, sir. Two things happening is that given the current micro scenario and the levels which you know, all the industries are operating on, our existing portfolio also, you know, we have to look at how to maintain the volumes, and at many cases we have to drop our gross margin, right? So and we are aggressively pushing our other portfolio also. So it's a combination, you know. So this portfolio with a higher gross margin and a combination of our existing portfolio is kind of yielding this. Directionally, once we come back to a normal scenario, our gross margin trend should improve in the long term. So once the macroeconomic situation changes, the demand, you know, the Chinese are not at the same level of you know, utilization, what's happening today, etc.
Sure. And Rajesh, just a follow-up on that. So from a product approval perspective, right, and all these products will have different time cycles in terms of approvals, etc. Where are we right now, and, you know, maybe when should we expect the full approval, you know, in place?
So we are absolutely on track on sales reaching our first-year target, given the four-year horizon, right? So we are right on track on that. So Q1 also we've been able to meet that target, and we'll continue to kind of, you know, there's a great emphasis in the company to drive that.
Okay, great. And if I may follow up, just one on the coal cost, you know, comment that we had in the initial, you know, remarks. Coal cost being lower, earlier there was a hit on the gross margin because of the coal cost being higher. So if the coal cost is coming down, the benefit stays with us on the margins front. Will that be a right assumption?
So coal will affect the contribution margin, not the gross margin. And you're absolutely right, sir. So coal, we will, you know, we'll try and maintain the margins which we have lost.
Great, sir. Thank you for your reply and all the best. Thanks.
Thanks, Anguruji.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Madhav from Fidelity. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thank you so much for your time once again. I think in the annual report of FY23, you already mentioned that one of the key North American competitors for Sudarshan is facing major challenges. Could you help us understand like what's happening there? Is it part of the global consolidation which is played out? Is that part of that or what's happening there?
So one of the competitors based in Canada is facing financial difficulties, and they have been curtailing their product portfolio. And we've seen also in the market that supplies from them to customers have been disrupted for some areas.
Okay, got it. How big were they? Like given we are like ranked 3, I think today, were they in like a top 10 player in the pigment space or any ballpark? Were they a very large player?
Yes. Yes, sir. They're definitely among the top 6 or 7 players, sir.
Okay, understood. And then the other commentary which was there in the annual report was you all said that China plus one in the pigments industry specifically is gathering pace now, and you all expect the Indian pigment players to benefit. So is it something like the pigment space is now beginning to see that trend picking up where some of the other subsegments in chemicals have benefited in the last 4-5 years at least? Is pigments that coming through now? That's what I gathered from the annual report. I'm not sure if I read it properly.
So, sir, I think China plus one has been a talking point for a long time, but first time we are seeing that customers are looking at alternatives, and India is definitely in the focus area. So, this is a great tailwind for us. That's what we see.
Got it. And just lastly, again from the annual report, only you also said that in Europe there could be higher imports of pigments in the next few years, given, of course, they have their own cost challenges. Is that the right understanding, that imports into Europe of pigments could pick up in the next, 3-4 years?
So I think the second tailwind which we talk about is the, the energy crisis in Europe. They become uncompetitive, right? And also looking at the whole deindustrialization or what's happening in Europe where they are reducing capacities, we are hoping that there is more opportunities for us to export, yes, into Europe.
Understood. Got it. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Madhav.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Archit Joshi from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, I just wanted to seek your understanding on your geographical presence in Europe and US specifically. This entire inventory destocking story that is playing out, which is possibly not, we are not able to push our volumes incrementally because of that. So what is the exact situation there? How big is the level of inventory that needs to be corrected so that we start seeing some recovery in terms of volume, if you can speak on both the geographies specifically?
So in general, I think the destocking in the inventory has been through the geographies, specifically to EU and US. I would say that EU, last year we saw, worsening of demand. We see demand slightly better than last year, right? Last year we saw the worst coming in. In terms of US, so far, one is the destocking, but the future demand scenario in US, given the given the economic situation, etc., customers are giving us a cautionary note in US. So that's the area where we are closely monitoring how to gain our sales with our new products.
Sure, sir. And in the supply chain, correct my understanding if I'm wrong here. So in the supply chain, while we are into a pure B2B business, the inventories are stocked up at what end exactly? Is it that the customers bought in quite a lot in the last financial year, or is it in the distribution channel somewhere, if we are at all dealing with distributors? So there are two things, right? So one is that the inherent demand, if that is weak, then probably it will be difficult to push the inventory from any of the end. But if the demand is picking up, then the levels of inventory liquidation going ahead will be quite useful if we have to, you know, push that the volume that we have produced in our facilities. So where exactly is the pain point, from whatever interactions if you had, if you can throw some light on that?
So I think the first pain point was the Indian market, especially coating industry, where we saw that is destocking, that we didn't see the muted demand. It now all depends on, you know, Diwali, how the Diwali season now picks up and the coating demand comes up, right? So that's one scenario. The second scenario is really Europe and North America, the microeconomic situation where the demand itself kind of subdued. But what we find is that, you know, it all depends on the reference to context. So if you compare to last year, right, we are in a better position, even in Europe and US, right? But onto the absolute where we want to reach, what we want to do, that's a little subdued.
Understood, sir. So one last question. So when we planned this new capacity, we've added 750 crores to our gross block. While we plan these products, which are essentially, as you rightly said earlier, have a relatively higher gross margin profile than our existing tail of products which we are trying to curtail. While we plan these products, do we immediately start getting in touch with our customers for qualifications of these products? And if at all these products have already been qualified, or is it that once demand starts picking up, we start this process altogether newly, you know, wherein we can expect some delays because of the gestation period also that is involved in, you know, approving those products at the customer end. So just wanted your thoughts on how the planning is done from your standpoint when it comes to introducing these new products. And just one supplementary information, if you can provide, you've spoken about this earlier, but to what extent have we started setting these assets, and from these new assets, what would be the current capacity utilization like? Thank you.
So, absolutely, we don't wait for the demand to come back. We are engaging with customers for approvals, right? However, like the guidance we gave in the last call, we were expecting to utilize the capacities in 3 years. This has been, you know, right now, given the situation, it looks like 4 years. And we are bang on target to achieve the target of 4 years today. And we will continue to push this given when the situation improves, we hope to bring this back to 3 years.
Got it, sir. So basically, we don't have to really wait for the approvals. The engagement is ongoing, and that will not increase the gestation period of realizing the benefits from the CAPEX. And sir, if you can also answer the utilization part that I asked. Thank you.
Utilization part, as I mentioned, sir, on the 4 year, we are on track to achieve the 4 year target, right?
Sure, sir. Sure. Thanks. That's helpful. All the best.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitesh Dhoot from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. So I was asking that if we look at the reported segment assets, the net assets, what I see has increased by 270 crores quarter on quarter. So if you could just elaborate on the same.
I need this Nilkant here. So I think on the segment asset side, the major increase which has come is on account of, you know, the investment in the mutual fund, which is based on the monetization. Since our monetization happened in Q1 and we had done, so we utilized proceeds for repayment of the borrowing, and some part of that is parked right now in the mutual fund. So that is giving us the increase value in the asset side. Also, as mentioned earlier,
there has been some effect of the inventory slightly on a higher side for the quarter. To some extent, that is also impacting. Third point is on also the RICO side. The business has gone up, so there has been some also billed as well as unbilled revenue, which is also contributing increase in overall segment as well.
Sure. My next question is on the segment business. So if we see that sequentially, the gross margin has gone up from 41.5% to 42.9%. However, you know, the EBITDA margin has come down from 12.3% to 11.9%. So is this purely because of the weaker fixed cost absorption given the lower volumes sequentially, or is there an increase in some overheads also?
Nikesh, your understanding is absolutely correct. So if you see, the EBITDA margin has been is down sequentially by 40 basis points, while if you see my sales value has come down by around 9 to 10%. So it is more of the operating leverage there, no increase in the overheads.
All right, so thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you, Nitesh. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhruv Muchal from HDFC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. Yeah. So, sir, the Chinese market, we understand the real estate market is weak, and probably that is also influencing the coating market, the coating pigment segment. So, is that the reason that which is impacting the overall supply-demand situation globally, and they are exporting, the Chinese are exporting more and more probably in your Europe and U.S. market, which you earlier used to target, and probably also the domestic market? Or is it that a lot of new capacities have come up which is influencing the market? Just trying to understand what is causing this.
So China is not active. China has nothing to do with the coatings market, sir. Coating market, what we saw was in India where we didn't see growth. I think China is generally active in the printing ink markets and some lower end plastic markets where we have seen good competition, right? Yes. But that's not the main reason where we are seeing in general, we are saying that the microeconomic situation is such that we are not seeing that growth which we used to see earlier in the market.
Okay. So you mentioned, so this is related to the Chinese pressure is related to the domestic market in printing inks and plastics, but for the exports market, like
on domestic, sir, on domestic, this is the global market.
Global market. Okay, got it. Sure, sir. This is helpful. And so the second thing is, now that the RM prices are falling, I believe you will also take some adjustments in your selling prices to some extent probably. So your earlier guidance of incremental revenue from a new CapEx, I think it was about 1500 odd crores. Does that remain or will that see some change given that the RM is now falling?
It will see a slight, not a material difference, sir. Probably a 10% difference. What the material difference is, earlier guidance was 3 years, which is moving to 4 years. That's the bigger difference.
So the value broadly remains the same, irrespective. I mean, you had already factored in for this RM price fluctuation or the decline as such.
No. I'm saying the decline right now we expect is to make an impact is 10%.
10%. Sure, sir. Great, sir. Thank you so much and all the best. Thanks.
Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chetan Thakkar from ASK Investment Managers Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So the question is more on the other expense line item. Just wanted to understand how will this move as a percentage of revenue over the next 4 years, because some bit of our capex has also gone into backward integration. So how should we expect this line item to move as capacity utilization inches up?
Hi, Chetan. So Nilkant here. Our capex has been predominantly on the revenue side, growth side, and as we guided earlier, we have not done any significant capex for the backward integration. That will be the next phase once we stabilize the current capex. So as regards the other expense, I see So these are two, three variables. The fixed cost, which I see in that particular bucket to remain fairly constant. The other part, which is the manufacturing as well as the selling variable, will vary as we ramp up our capacity. But it should get reflected in our contribution margin. So I expect the margin should be at the similar level, or we should see growth compared to year on year basis.
Sure. So this was largely coming from the fact that if I look at your more long-term other expense as a percentage of revenue, it would hover between 20 and 21%, while this quarter it's 25 because utilization would be lower. So fair to assume we would start inching towards that number as utilization starts to inch up?
It is fair to assume that, correct, sir. So we had been predominantly in the range of around 23 to 24% as a percentage to sales. If I see the last year for the pigment business, we were at around 24%, and currently I see as a 23%. As we move along, and as we see the capacity utilization and ramp up, I expect this percentage to drop further. We should stabilize this on the lower end of the side.
Yeah. And so just the last bit on the interest expense line item, what is the current cost of debt? And given that we would have utilized to repay debt, we've done that. So what should we expect going ahead on the interest expense as well?
So, Jason, currently, if you really see our loan portfolio, it is mix of the ECBs and the rupee loan. The tilt is higher. Tilt is more on the export commercial borrowing, which is the foreign currency borrowing. And given the current, the risk management policy, we have majority of them are covered into the fixed rate. So, I expect the blended rate on this should be around 5.5%, given the foreign currency loans in the portfolio.
Got it. And whatever we've repaid, so to that extent, that benefit will flow as we move ahead.
Absolutely. Whatever we have repaid, you can see in the quarter, compared to the sequential quarter, you see the reduction in the interest cost number. As we go along, further repayment also will have the impact on the reduction in the interest cost.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much, sir. All the best.
Thank you, Jatin.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hussain Bharuchwala from Carnelian Asset Management. Please go ahead.
So I just wanted to understand, so the organic, on the organic pigment side, since we are moving more towards the export market, so can we see the gross margins increasing from here on? And what is the, is there any target gross margins that we are looking at? So just wanted to understand you some bit of that. And secondly, I wanted to understand, sir, you plan to increase the ROCE going forward. I think that was there in the presentation. So where are we, how will we be able to increase the ROCE? One thing I understand in the last call, you said, sir, we'll look at working capital and bring down the working capital down. So is there any other means that we are looking at in order to improve the ROCE? How are we planning to do that, sir? So that was the two questions for me. Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Hi, Usman. Thanks. Nilkant here. Am I audible?
Yes, sir, you're audible.
Yeah. So, I look at it, the first question was on the gross margin. So, rather than looking at organic, inorganic, I see the split between the specialty and non-specialty to play the important role. As we mentioned, our CapEx has been tilted more towards the specialty chemical side, specialty pigment side. So over a period, directionally, we should see the gross margin expansion. We had seen earlier the gross margin in the range of 43 to 44, if I see the peak of FY21. So we should expect that there should be the expansion in the gross margin directionally, not in the immediate future, once we get along more sweating of the current CapEx, new CapEx which are put into the EU. That is on the first part. Second is on the ROCE, yes. So ROC has a couple of levers wherein we are working. The last year which we have seen is the drop in overall gross margin, EBITDA, and which has reflected in the EBIT percentage aspect. With the current quarter, with overall financial performance, we expect the margin trajectory to be maintained. compared to the last year first three quarter performance. So we have seen that traction coming in, and we as a management are focused how to expand our margin, which will reflect better in terms of the EBITDA percent as well as the EBIT percent. On the capital employed side, we are also working more on the net working capital. If you have seen last year, there has been a good net working capital release over a 1 year period, and we continue to do that. There may be some seasonality which will be there as far as the net working capital cycle is concerned, but over a period I expect we should stabilize the net working capital around 21%, releasing further few crores from the capital employed. And third, as we move along in terms of the ramping up of the sales from the new CapEx project, more sweating of those CapEx will give us the further benefits going forward. So as here the growth will follow the CapEx, we are in the initial phase. You will see the ROC ramp up in the coming year. And these are the two, three major levers which we are working at.
Okay, got it.
Also, one point, Hussein, also is we have also taken a decision that there will not be any further expansion of new CapEx, new CapEx to the tune which we have seen, except the maintenance CapEx. So this will also help us in, managing our capital employed better.
Got it. And so your maintenance CapEx will be around 40 crores, am I correct? That's what you have added earlier?
Yes, around 40 to 50 crores, yeah.
Got it. So that was the only question. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohit Nagraj from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So first question is on the European competitors. So given that out of top 10 players, most of them are located in Europe. And on a year-on-year, the energy situation has been relatively lenient. Plus, you also mentioned the raw material prices have been falling. So how is the competition shaping up over there? And are there any, incidences where some of the mid or small size players have gone out of the system, as you explained for one of the competitors in Canada? Thank you.
So I think, like we said, in Europe, a lot of consolidation has happened, right, in the large areas. And I think with consolidation comes opportunities for independent players like us, where we get an opportunity to grab a market share, right? So in terms of if you see Europe, really, if you scan through Europe, there are like two major players which are now who are present, right? Who are the top two people?
Right. Have we seen competition from the top people, given that from the raw material side or from the energy side, the situation is also favorable for them as it is favorable for us?
So I think basically I think two areas. One is obviously the energy in Europe is still, we have some advantage over that. So we are still in favor from a cost perspective. Given that consolidation is happening, we do see a more attraction towards, better engagement for us with the customers.
Right, got it. So second question is that on the commodity pigments capacity. So you mentioned in one of the comments that we are driving ourselves from commodity to specialty. However, the market share has remained constant. So just wanted to understand from the operating point of view, the capacity that we have put for commodity pigments, the previous ones plus in the new CAPEX, are those capacities fungible and can be used for specialty pigments, or at any point in time, if we were to scale those down, we'll again have to incur some capex if we were to upgrade those capacities to specialty pigments. Thank you.
We've not put in any new capex on the commodity side, right? Most of our capex has been on the specialty side. If you look at fungibility, it's not possible to transform a commodity capacity into a specialty.
Right, got it. Thank you so much and best of luck, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yogesh Bhatia from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Please proceed.
Yeah. So, sir, like you mentioned, that our target is to ramp up this new capacity in the coming 3 years. So, is it a possibility that if things are better off earlier than we expect, so we can ramp it up faster? And my second question is, like you said, that we have started utilizing the new capacity recently from Q1 and also. So, is it fair to assume that some higher fixed costs must have been a part of the P&L in the last one or two quarters, given the ramp up has started in the new capacity? Hello.
Hi, Yogesh, Nilkant here. So, as regards the ramp up in terms of the new capex, as we mentioned, we earlier estimated this ramp up should be within 3 years. Given the current scenario, we expect that this should be around 4 years, and we are on target, to have the ramp up of this new capacity by 4 years. As we move along, if we see the improvement in the macroeconomic condition, our endeavor is to bring back this particular ramp up to the 3 years period, but that will always depend on the external factors. That is the first part. Second part is in terms of the additional fixed cost. So this project has been commissioned in the last quarter, and majority of the fixed cost in terms of the manpower and all that is already being there. I don't expect any incremental fixed cost to come for this newly commissioned capex.
Okay, so basically higher fixed cost has been incurred in the last quarter and maybe this quarter also for the new capacity, right?
Yes, so I expect more of a normalization, no incremental cost, fixed cost due to this, recently commissioned capex.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That should be all.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will take that as the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Mishu. Thank you, Vidit, and thank you, participants, for your time and interest in Sudarshan Chemical. We remain confident in the long-term prospect of our business, and we look forward to engaging with you again in future. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of IIFL Securities, that concludes this conference. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.